You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the scripture, though we'll get there today. Eventually, I like to get off on another topic now and then. I believe it has a lot to do with the context of the scripture, especially going through the Old Testament here and running across the Tetragrammaton, or the name of the Creator, in just about every other verse. Like I was saying, that the name of the Creator was removed from the Old Testament more than 6,000 times and replaced with a phrase, and the phrase is a lowercase T-H-E and uppercase L-O-R-D, the Lord. They removed his name, and you can do the research yourself, more than 6,000 times. As a matter of fact, they left his name in, I think, less than a half a dozen times throughout the entire scripture, out of more than 6,000. Now, the motivation. What was the motivation for the Roman church to remove the name? And of course, the reformers, under the influence of the Roman church, and the same influence that caused them to remove the name was carried on by the reformers in their translations of translating the Bible into German and English and so forth. What was the motivation? Well, I would call the motivation anti-Semitic and a hatred of all things Hebrew or Jewish. Of course, they weren't called Jews then. They were called Iudeans or Yahudim. The word Jew or Judah with the J came out later. But that would be the motivation, that they hated the Hebrew sounding names. They preferred the Hellenized form of the name, that is the Greek form of the names, things that fell easier on the lips of the Roman and the pagan. And when the mother church morphed all of the pagan idolatry with Christianity, of course they brought in more pagan influence and more influence, but they hated all things Hebrew, and they blamed the Jew, or the Hebrew, since the word Jew didn't even exist then, but they blamed the Yahudim. And they did not like those people, and they did not like the name that they were called by, so they obliterated the name. And they went with the Romanized or Latinized Greek form of the name, Jesus, and morphed that into Jesus over the centuries, to where that has now become the common thing. And of course, since the Roman Church was claiming Godhead on earth, then they had the authority to change the name of God, did they not? Just like if I own a slave or if I buy a horse, I can change its name, can I? Or just as the Messiah changed Simon's name to Peter, or the Almighty changed the name of Abram, Jacob, to the new names which he gave them. Because he owned them, he could change their names. So somebody claiming ownership over the Almighty and over his word took it upon themselves by their own authority to change the names. Now, who would do that? Well, I think the same one that thought to change times and laws, because they did that too. They obliterated, not only did they obliterate everything Hebrew sounding, but they obliterated his calendar too, and they changed times as well as laws. Now, speaking of changing the name, they hated the name of the Yahudim, because that's what the Hebrew people were called, because they were called by his name. Yahudah was Judah. Judah, that's now we call it Judah, was what Yahudah morphed into. And the people were called the Yahudim. And his name was Yahuwah. And his son's name was Yahushua, which means Yahuwah is our salvation. So they were indeed the people called by his name. The Roman church hated the people, the Hebrew. They hated his name. So they changed it by their own authority. So for people to say, and you know, I thought for a long time I bought into it. No, it's not important. Just he knows you're calling on him. But I don't know. Is your name important to you? Mine is to me. When people call me Nick, I don't like it. And I let them know. Said, my name is not Nick. Nick is something bad that happens to your coffee table. When I introduce myself, I call myself Nicholas. And if people have any honor or consideration, because see, I call people by what they tell me their name is. Because I want to honor them. Because the law says, love your neighbors yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I will honor their name. And I like it when people honor my name. And I will honor their name. If they change their name, what are they claiming? Well, disregard, inconsiderate. That's what they're saying about themselves. That they don't love their neighbors or self, or they're just plain inconsiderate. Oh, well, I never considered that. Well, perhaps that's the point. But they have no authority to change my name because I don't belong to them. I already have a master, and his name is Yahushua. He's my king. And I have a creator who made me, and he is the same, Yahuwah. I can't change his name. And once I learn what his name is, as he expressed it through his word, am I going to honor it or am I not going to honor it? Am I going to say, well, gosh, you know, I don't want to be different than the other people out there. I'm afraid of what the other people might think. It might make me feel uncomfortable to say his name when everyone else is saying God or the Lord or Jesus. I might sound weird and out of place. Now, what am I proclaiming then? And I felt all these things, as all of us have. But fear man? No. Scripture says, fear him alone. It says, fear God, Yahuwah, fear him alone. I know his name now, am I going to honor it? Yes, it may sound weird for a while. And like I said, I'm on the leading edge here. You know, I wish I was 40 years behind the curve. But the Heavenly Father is pushing me out here in the front. And yes, it's uncomfortable. It is. I admit it is uncomfortable. But you know what? That's my trial. That's my tribulation. The Father says, do it. I have to get over it. I have to get over my discomfort. And I cannot regard the fear of men, what other people will think. And or they might call me crazy, or they just might not listen to me, Father, if I use your name, if I use the proper phonetic pronunciation of your name. You know, Yeshua, that would be better. You know, at least that's a little more Greek sounding. You know, but Yahushua, you know, why should I pronounce the whole name, you know? Well, I don't like Nick. And oh yes, maybe it's just a big bother to pronounce Nicholas or write out the whole name Nicholas. And but you get the idea anyway. We do not have the authority to change his name. And I guess ignorance is bliss. Because if you remain ignorant, or you shut your ears and don't hear what I'm saying, you can go on. And you know, I believe many of you will go on, but it's going to start bothering you. And the Holy Spirit is going to start making you feel uncomfortable, like he did me. And then you'll become a nut to the world. You'll become a fool in the eyes of men. And yes, I'd rather be a fool in the eyes of men than a fool in the eyes of my Creator. Let's see, anything else? Well, I did have a request, and from those people that are listening, and please email me. This request is I wanted to hear from the listeners out there if perhaps we could do a topical day like today, you know, perhaps once a week, perhaps on a Monday or a Friday, So I think it would be better to pick one of those days, either to start the week or to end the week with a topical, like what I've done this morning so far has just been topical. It's not a strict Bible teaching, because I would like to keep my Bible teaching kind of separate from topical studies, but to have a call in where listeners would participate. And that would mean that you'd have to show up from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific time, which is 3 hours later, which is noon to 2 o'clock Eastern time. So adjust that for your time zone, and listen then live and call in and participate. If I could get, say, a dozen people to email me, go to my website at crosstheborder.org and say, hey, that would be great. I would be willing to call in and participate, because, you know, I don't want to be sitting here doing a topical program asking for calls and have nobody to call in. That gets a little uncomfortable, and so I'd rather just not do call-ins if that were the case. But if people would like to do that, I would even get some guests, perhaps, to come on for an hour to discuss certain topics that we cover in the scripture, or other ideas that would be fitting for this type of program. And so if I could get, let's say, a dozen people to say yes, you know, I listen live and I would be willing to call in and participate as the Spirit moves, and that way, iron sharpening iron, we could have a meeting on the air. And I'm looking for people that are somewhat knowledgeable in the scripture, who are very interested in the scripture, elders, basically, in learning to participate in a conversation or a discussion regarding different topics on the scripture or different portions of the scripture. That's what I'm looking for. Something that we should be practicing instead of going to the corporate church where they put on a show and entertain you and everybody sits in their auditorium seats. I see the pattern. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you'll see a pattern there where the elders, certainly you'd have one person who would be a pastor, or someone like Paul, who was an apostle, who would perhaps be preeminent in a meeting, but also you'd have all the elders sitting up there. And they would go from elder to elder, and you can see this pattern, like I said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is a pattern for the ecclesia meeting. And basically what I'm looking for is to do something like this on the air a couple hours a week, where we could have call-ins and people could participate. I have several lines here if someone wanted to participate in. Well, I could get a guest, someone who is an elder, who has demonstrated some type of, to come on my guest line, and then we could have callers who would call in, other elders or people who are learned in the word and have something, or just have questions for those of us that are sitting up here and have been in the word for so many years. And I would only say I qualify as an elder because, one, of my age, I'm not really a young man, and also that I've been studying the scripture now for 35 years, and very intently and interested most of that time in it. And that's not to say I know everything and that I can't be taught anything. I'm always willing to hear and always eager for anyone to challenge me in the scripture, of course, with the scripture. On anything I say. And I must be doing pretty good, because I don't get very many challenges these days. So, and I am teachable. I am not what you would call an unteachable spirit. I run into that spirit a lot, and it shuts me up right away, because I've called into some and tried to talk to other people on certain things, and you can always tell when they're unteachable. But a lot of times, you know, we can all be somewhat stubborn, and I would have to include myself in that. But, you know, I really pray that His Holy Spirit, when I am challenged with the truth that the Heavenly Father, that His Holy Spirit opened my eyes and shut my mouth and stop any unteachableness that might be in me. That's my prayer. You know, right now, over the air, you heard it. And I hope that that's your prayer too, that you have a teachable spirit, that His Holy Spirit be able to work in you and open your eyes to anything that you might be blinded to, or any ungodly or not so or erroneous influences that we have had in our lives. And I've had many over the past 35 years, especially early on in my walk. The first, 10 years were just terrible. I was totally ungrounded because I had no good teaching anywhere. The only good thing I had was His Word and His Holy Spirit, but I had really bad teaching. No one to teach me like what I'm teaching today. No one really rightly dividing and discerning the Word of God. Of course, I did get the milk of the Word, and that grounded me. And finally, it dawned on me one day when I was reading the Gospel, and Yahshua talked about the Great Commandments. What is the Great Commandment? He was asked the question, and He said there are two. You know, the first one, the greatest commandment, is you shall love Yahuwah, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And He said the second one is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I came to the realization that I didn't love Him because I didn't know how to love Him. How do you love God? How do you love the Creator of the universe? This was the question I was asking myself, and some 22 years ago, 22, 23 years ago, it was around 85 or so, it finally dawned on me, and that was then my prayer. And I finally prayed, you know, after some 10, 12 years of sucking on the milk of the Word, you know, of being a baby, it finally dawned on me, and I began to pray, Father, teach me how to love You. I don't know how to love You. I mean, wow, what a revelation to walk so many years and reading the Scripture and listening to Bible teachers, of course, all corporate Bible teachers. So you can't get very deep when you're only into the corporate and the state-sponsored ministries. You're never going to get very deep that way because they have a restraint on them. And the restraint is a leash. And the leash is their entanglement with the state governments out there, with the world. And yes, you know what? If you pray a prayer like that, teach me how to love You. Ah, boy, you're in for the ride of your life. Because you know what? That's exactly what our Heavenly Father wants to hear. I can say that unequivocally, that is exactly what He wants to hear. Father, Heavenly Father, I don't know how to love You. Teach me how to love You. And you know what He taught me? He taught me His law. See, finally, the willingness came. Teach me how to love You. The acknowledgement that I didn't know how to love Him. Of course, if I didn't know how to love Him, that means that I was not loving Him. The desire finally came, and I asked Him to teach me how to love Him. And He says, and He taught me His law. He says, these are the things that please me. I wrote it all down in my book. And you know, Yahushua, also known as Jesus, a.k.a. Jesus, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And speaking of the law, He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. And He said, not one jot or tittle. You know, that's like the crossing of the T and the dotting of an I. He said, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, certainly all hasn't been fulfilled. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law. And he also said, when he was asked, what are the great commandments? And he said, love Yahuwah, the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, you know, basically, with everything that you are. You are to love him and to love your neighbors yourself. And he said something very peculiar about the law. He said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. So if the law and the prophets hang on those two, if you take those two away, what happens to the law and the prophets? They fail. That's right. They fail without those two. So finally, when I said, teach me how to love you, I had the desire to love him. Then he showed me the law. He says, no, now you got the loving me. And that's what the law and the prophets hang on. And of course, the spirit of prophecy is not telling the future, but it is the testimony. And from the King James, authorized King James version, it says the testimony of Jesus Christ. So when we testify of him, of Yahushua, then we are prophets of his word. And that's what it really means to be a prophet, is a preacher of his word, or to testify of him. So that was, well, an epiphany. It was a huge change in my life, and I've loved the ride ever since then. And much of it has been very uncomfortable, such as I've expressed today in using the name and practicing a restoration rather than a reformation. Well, I say, Father, if you want a restoration, then let me be part of it. Let it begin here. If you want me to restore your holy name, I will be called by your name, Yahudim. And if the world says, well, that I'm just a Yahoo, then I will glory in it. Well, we'll be back after this brief interlude, and we're going to jump back into our context in Numbers there. So I'll see you in a few minutes.